A mother collapses to the ground, clutching her son's shoes, breathing in his scent one last time. In South Los Angeles, this scene repeats with devastating regularity. Yet most Americans never hear these stories. Young Black men die at rates that would trigger national emergencies anywhere else, but here, the deaths barely register. The numbers are staggering. Black homicide rates have consistently run 5 to 7 times higher than white rates for decades. In some Los Angeles neighborhoods, young Black men face murder rates 2 to 4 times higher than Hispanic men living on the same blocks. This isn't a story about crime. It's about a profound failure of justice that most of us never see. Black communities face a devastating paradox. They're simultaneously over-policed and under-protected. The system aggressively prosecutes minor infractions, like loitering or marijuana possession, while letting murders go unsolved. It's like having security guards who ticket you for jaywalking but ignore break-ins. Legal scholar William Stuntz captured this perfectly. Poor Black neighborhoods see too little of the kinds of policing that do the most good, and too much of the kinds that do the most harm. When the state fails to respond to murder, people create their own justice systems. In Watts, gang members enforce codes backed by violence, with violations punishable by death. This shadow legal system exists because formal law has historically abandoned Black Americans. Without legal recourse for disputes, violence substitutes for contract litigation. Young men compare gang participation to how business people use civil courts. We pick up the phone and call our homeboys. Detective John Skaggs looked ordinary. Tall, athletic, whitening hair, surfer vocabulary. But beneath that exterior lay extraordinary dedication. While colleagues avoided working south of the 10, Interstate 10, Skaggs deliberately chose South Los Angeles divisions, embracing Southeast Division's chaos like a MASH unit, better craftsmen working fast with limited resources. His philosophy echoed veteran homicide detectives. She ain't a whore no more. She's some daddy's baby. All victims deserved equal justice regardless of background. When asked why he dedicated himself to solving South LA murders, Skaggs explained simply, "I could do it. Who else can?" His approach was relentless, banging loudly on windows at dawn, returning day after day until people talked, waiting hours in front of homes. In interrogations, he played the goofy amateur while concealing razor-sharp strategic intellect. But Skaggs offered something deeper than manipulation. He provided moral comfort and protection, demonstrating that formal law could actually protect those who chose to trust it. Getting witnesses to talk was what detectives called the colossal problem. In Watts, witnesses pleaded for anonymity, often had to be chased down, and frequently lied or vanished before trial. In 2008, lack of witness cooperation impeded 40% of Los Angeles homicide cases. California's witness relocation program offered only a few $1,000s, woefully inadequate for homeless people, addicts, and gang members dependent on geographically specific Black markets. Though detectives insisted retaliation was rare, about 7 known witness murders occurred countywide each year. The $25,000 rewards for information were virtually never collected due to fear. But witness intimidation wasn't just about criminal code. It bordered on racial betrayal, a rejection of a legal system that had failed Black communities for generations. Southern Black migrants brought experiences of the white man's court, a system that appeared constitutional but maintained white supremacy through corruption and ineffectiveness. Atlanta's Black homicide rate hit 107 per 100,000 in 1920. Memphis reached 170 in 1915. Black communities even resorted to lynching murder suspects whom white authorities wouldn't prosecute. When these migrants encountered aggressive LAPD tactics, the explosive clash contributed to the Watts riots. Bryant Tennell struggled academically, but excelled practically, maintaining exotic fish, building lowrider trikes, designing clothes, winning cooking competitions, and raising chickens. Despite attention deficit disorder, he juggled multiple jobs, impressing his parents with his work ethic. His father, Wally Tunnell, was a respected LAPD homicide detective who chose to live in the South Los Angeles neighborhood he policed. By spring 2007, Bryant had earned his diploma and secured a job with the LA Department of Recreation and Parks, starting the Monday after Mother's Day weekend. On Friday, May 11th, Bryant bought a root beer and strolled along 80th Street pushing his bike. A black Suburban pulled up. A young man jumped out, pulled on gloves, and fired. Bryant fell under a bird of paradise bush with part of his skull blown away. The investigation revealed something crucial. Everybody knew. Dozens in the gang world knew who killed Bryant. The murder wasn't a mystery to the community, only to police. Skaggs identified the killers and found Jessica Midkiff, who'd been in the car during the shooting. Her story never changed. Both defendants received life without parole. For Yadira Tunnell, weekly visits to Holy Cross Cemetery became an unbreakable ritual. Dressed in her hospital uniform, she'd bring fresh flowers to Bryant's crypt. The pain defied ordinary grief. Tears belonged to a realm of earthly physics, but the murder of her son had transcended the coordinates of her world. She and her sister Dee Dee still planned Bryant's future, noticing job opportunities that would have suited him. Such were the folds of maternal concern that had swathed him through life. They could not be loosened. What astonished Wally Tunnell most was discovering he felt no anger or desire for retribution, only inescapable pain. At Davis's sentencing, Yadira stood and forgave him. But the lasting image was of Wally alone after the verdict, lingering until the courtroom emptied before walking out into the cool spring air, returning to his duty serving a city that didn't deserve him. A city missing Bryant Tunnell, who would have been just fine had he made it past the rough adolescent stage. By 2013, Los Angeles homicides had plummeted, yet three high-crime areas accounted for 43% of murders, with black men aged 18 to 35 facing homicide rates 5 to 7 times higher than other groups. The Tunnell case revealed gang violence wasn't an implacable social disease. Rumors circulated freely. Suspects talked openly. They made little effort to cover tracks. True reform requires addressing both sides of the paradox, reducing harassment for minor offenses while dramatically increasing resources for solving murders. This means more detectives, better witness protection, improved forensics, and sustained investment in homicide investigations. Only when the state fulfills its basic obligation can we dismantle the shadow systems of street justice. As Skaggs' lament echoes, all those innocent people, we face a haunting question. What kind of society allows so many black men to be killed with impunity? Every unsolved murder sends a message about whose life matters. Every closed case, pursued with the vigor of investigating one's own child's death, sends the opposite message. Justice isn't just about punishment. It's about making every life expensive enough that taking it becomes unthinkable.